Shall we read together, please, in Revelation chapter 4. The book of Revelation chapter 4. On Lord's Day, we were looking at some pictures of the Lord Jesus in chapter 1. There are two distinct outlines of the person of Christ in that great chapter. First of all, in relation to the gospel, and secondly, in relation to the local churches. And this morning, I want to look at a third picture of the Lord Jesus in chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation. They're rather long chapters, but I feel that I should read both chapters, chapters 4 and 5. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardius stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 24 creatures, living creatures, full of eyes from front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face as a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures had each of them winged 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within him, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And from those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that is seated on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that is seated on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look on it. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the scroll, neither to look on it. One of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Now may God add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I've come to feel that these two chapters that we have read together is one of the most magnificent pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ to be found in the Bible. The two chapters cannot be separated, they go together. And here we find a lovely picture of our blessed Lord in the midst of the throng. He's regarded, first of all, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then he's regarded as the Lamb that was slain. Slain upon the cross that shed his precious blood for you and for me. Now I want to begin at the beginning of the chapter and notice how it is introduced. We read here, After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. You notice that John here is taken up to heaven. And I believe that this is the point in the book of Revelation where we find the rapture. I know there are different ideas about this, but I can't help but feel that at this point is the rapture of the church. And the two different terms that we find here, the voice from heaven and the trumpet, it goes back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You notice that in chapters 2 and 3 we get an outline of the church, commencing with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea. And here, immediately after that, John is taken up to heaven to get the revelation that we want to speak about this morning. Here we get the rapture. The church is complete and entire. And here we get a revelation of something that is about to happen after the church is gone. Lord willing, this evening I want to speak a little bit about the rapture of the church and go into some details connecting it. But here, I believe, in the book of Revelation, we find the rapture of the church symbolically in John being taken up to heaven. I suppose most of us have noticed that in the book of Revelation we find John in five positions. In chapter 1, after he saw that wonderful vision of Christ as the one walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, he fell at his feet as dead. There we get John at the feet of Jesus. That is the first position. But here he's taken up to heaven. And he gets a vision of what takes place in heaven at that second position. A third place we find him is in chapter 13. He stands there by the seashore, and he sees two creatures, one coming up out of the sea and the other coming up out of the land. And he gets a wonderful revelation there of these two individuals that will have a very prominent position in tribulation days. The beast out of the sea and the beast out of the land. And then in chapter 17 we find that he's taken to the wilderness, and there he sees the harlot, that false bride. He's taken to the wilderness to see that. And in chapter 17 and 18 there's a picture there of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. But the final position that we find him is in chapter 21. He's taken up to a high mountain, And upon the high mountain there he sees the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. But as far as these different positions are concerned, notice that symbolically John is taken up to heaven and given a vision of what takes place there. You know, he's not the only one that got a vision of heaven. Sometimes we wonder just what it will be like when earth is past and we're in the presence of the Lord. You know, Stephen got a little glimpse inside. We find that in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7. And we find that Stephen, before the spirit left the body, he was able to get a little glimpse inside into heaven. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw the glory of God, and he saw Christ himself even before the spirit left the body. Do you think it's possible for that to happen? I have known some people when it comes to that last moment, just before the spirit leaves the body, it seems before their eyes close down here, their eyes are opened to what takes place there on the other side. Stephen got that vision. And then the Apostle Paul, we read about him in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We find him too taken up to heaven. He speaks about a man in Christ. And that man that he speaks of is no doubt himself. He said about 14 years previously, he was, whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell, that he was taken up to the third heaven and saw unspeakable things which are not possible to utter. So the Apostle Paul, he too got a little glimpse inside even before he passed on. But here John, he gets two visions of what it is like in heaven. This is the first one here. It's a little preview of what heaven is like. And then at the end of the book, again in chapter 21, he gets the panoramic view of what it is like in heaven. Sometimes we sit and imagine and wonder what it will be like when Christ shall come and we're taken up there, or possibly when it comes to that moment when the Lord takes us home to get a vision of what it is like in heaven. Now that's what John gets here, and it's absolutely beautiful to notice the different things that he says about heaven and the things that he saw, and all of them that we get here have a very vital and a very, very important meaning. So here he's taken up to heaven. And when he's taken up, the first thing he sees is a throne. A throne is set in heaven. You know, this word throne is one of the great outstanding words in the book of Revelation. It occurs 48 times in the book of Revelation. The throne, the throne, the throne. Anyone that will think about this, you know that there are a number of terms connected with the throne of God. In the Old Testament, we read about the throne of God. In the age in which we live, it's a throne of grace. And here, in this passage, it is a throne of government. But later on, in the book of Revelation, it is a throne of glory. And it's the throne of God and of the Lamb. But the first thing he sees as he's taken up to heaven is that throne. And he sees one sitting upon that throne. And we read that he was like a jasper and a sardius stone. Now, at the beginning here, the identity of the one who is sitting upon the throne is not told us. But if we look further down the chapter in verse 8, we find three terms that are used of the throne sitter that's sitting upon the throne. Read the Lord God Almighty. And praise and worship goes up to him, the one who is sitting upon the throne. The Lord God Almighty. Jehovah Elohim Shaddai. Three tremendous terms here connected with the throne sitter. It's not revealed at the beginning of the chapter who it is, but it's Almighty God upon his throne. And we read that that throne is set in heaven. You know, as we think of this, we thank God that God is on the throne. When we think of government today, the governments of this world toppling one after another, we thank God that that throne is a solid rock, and the one that sits upon it is in complete control. And the first thing that John sees is that one sitting upon the throne. Now notice the two terms that are used in connection with it. First of all, we read about the jasper stone, and then we read about the sardius stone. Now I believe that these two stones are, first of all, the translucent diamond. Mr. F. W. Grant, in his exposition of the passage, he says the jasper is the diamond, the translucent stone, and the other one is the ruby, the blood red ruby. And I believe that these two stones represents the two great foundations of the throne. First of all, the diamond, the translucent diamond, it speaks of righteousness. But the blood red ruby, it would speak of the precious blood and the redemptive power of our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us upon the cross. So the foundations of the throne, on the one hand is righteousness, on the other hand is redemption. So here, the first thing we get is the throne. But the second thing we find, round about the throne, there is a rainbow around about the throne. Did you ever see a completed rainbow? We find it in the Word of God in several different connections. The first time we find it is at the flood. And we read that there, that God set that sign in heaven of covenanted mercy, that the world never again would be destroyed by a flood. We get it again in Ezekiel chapter 1. Beautiful picture there too of the rainbow on the cloud. But we read here that this rainbow, it is complete and entire. It's around about the throne. And I think that there's something very precious connected with that. As far as we're concerned, while we have our feet on the ground, we're never able to see a completed rainbow. It's short-circuited by the earth, and all that we can see is a segment or a fragment of the rainbow. But when we get up to heaven, the rainbow is complete and entire. It surrounds the throne. On two occasions I saw a completed rainbow. My feet weren't on the ground. While we're here in this world and our feet up on the ground, we will never see the completed rainbow. But if you get above the clouds, you can see it. On two occasions, I was in an airplane. The first time going from Philadelphia to Detroit on a plane, we were going through a storm cloud. And above us was a cloud, and below us was another cloud, and we were going between the two parts of the cloud. And it was raining. And I looked outside the window of the plane, and I saw the plane silhouetted on the cloud below. And around about the plane, there was a completed rainbow, right around the plane. The second time I saw it was over in Britain. I was going from London over to Belfast in Northern Ireland, and going across the Irish Sea, the same thing happened. We were sailing through a storm cloud, and it was raining from the one cloud onto the other, and again, looking out the window of the plane, I saw the completed rainbow right around, and the plane silhouetted inside the completed rainbow. A most beautiful sight. Beloved friends, while we're here with our feet on the ground, we'll never see the completed rainbow. But we do thank God on that day when earth is past and we're in the presence of the Lord, the things that we don't understand down here will be perfectly understandable there. We will see the completed rainbow. God's covenanted mercy. Notice it's a color green here, the color of an emerald. Now I think that is important too. As far as color is concerned, green is the color of rest. Anyone that would go into an operating room today, you generally see the surgeon and possibly the walls of the operating room, they're covered green. It used to be that the surgeon was dressed in white But today they generally wear a green gown. And the reason for that is, it's a rest of the eye. Sometimes these operations last a long time. Green is the color of rest. It's in sight, like unto an emerald. So here we get this lovely, lovely item connected with the throne. First of all, the throne itself, and the foundations of the throne, righteousness and redemption. And then secondly, we get the rainbow round about the throne, God's covenanted mercy to his people. And thank God it will be absolutely understandable when we get up to heaven, things that we do not understand down here. I could occupy time this morning in speaking about experiences that one has had in life. And many a time, these experiences will say, oh God, why has this to happen? Why has it happened to me? And I know that very often when we pass through trials and difficulties down here, we do not understand just what it's all about. But I think that when earth has passed, the things that are mysterious to us here that we're not able to comprehend, we don't know the reason for it, we'll see the other side of the picture, and there the rainbow will be right around the throne. Now the next thing we see after the rainbow, we find 24 thrones. And on the 24 thrones there are 24 elders. 24 elders. And they're seated upon thrones, and we read that on their heads are crowns of gold, and they're dressed in white raiment. Now who are the 24 elders? Personally, I don't have a doubt at all who they are. I believe it is a completed church. The 24 elders, and here they have crowns upon their head. By the way, the crown here is the Stephanus. That is the victor's crown. And they're also dressed in white raiment. And also they are seated upon a throne. They indicate the completed church of God. The rapture has already taken place, and here they are before the throne on 24 thrones. Oh, as we look at this, we do thank God that one day the church will be completed. We do not believe in a partial rapture. We believe that every truly born again soul, everyone who is linked to Christ, linked to the risen head, thank God when Christ shall come, they will be taken up, and there will be among this lovely company that's seated upon throne. There is a problem here, I suppose most of us have heard. Do you think that it includes the Old Testament saints? These 24 elders? I know that there's some today would tell me that it's only after the Great Tribulation that the Old Testament saints will be resurrected and taken up. Well, now I'm not going to debate the thing. I have my own mind about it. Personally, I do believe that the Old Testament saints will rise when the church is raptured. A different company. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ in his parousia. And I believe that that includes the Old Testament saints as well. I wouldn't want to argue this point. I know that it is debatable, and many outstanding servants of God believe that it's only after the Great Tribulation that the Old Testament saints will rise and will be in the presence of the Lord. But we just leave it there. And we're absolutely sure that as far as the church is concerned, it will be complete and entire. There's no such thing as a partial rapture. Every truly born-again soul, linked to Christ, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, they will be in this lovely company that is mentioned 5 different times in the book of Revelation. I would love to turn over to some of the passages where we find the 24 elders. But 5 times in the book of Revelation we find them. And thank God we find them in the presence of God, worshipping and praising and thanking God for what he has done for them. The judgment seat of Christ is over. They have the crowns upon their head, and they're seated, and they're dressed in white raiment, and there they are before God and the Lamb. Now the next thing we find here is the rumblings of a storm. read of thunderings and lightnings and voices. Oh, when we get up to heaven, we know that immediately after the church is raptured up there, there's going to be a terrible time of judgment poured out upon the world. And here there's the rumblings of that storm. We thank God for the rainbow that's there, God's covenanted mercy. But when we read about the lightning and the thundering and the voices, and by the way, the voices means that God is speaking. But the thunder and lightning, that means that a storm is about to break. The next thing that we find here is a sea of glass. You know, in the Old Testament, we read about the brazen laver, that it was there that the priest, when he was performing his functions as a priest and going into the holy place, you remember he washed his hands and feet in the laver before he went into worship. And by the way, we need the washing of the word. As far as we are concerned, down here we have had the bath of regeneration. And thank God we have the word of God to help us in our daily lives. We do need the basin as well as the bath. That is the teaching of the Lord in John chapter 13. But when we get up there, it is a sea of glass. And that glass is just like crystal. I looked at that word crystal in Webster's dictionary to see what it meant. And Webster says that crystal is a very refined form of glass. You know, what we get here is perfected sanctification. I don't know about you, but day after day, as far as I'm concerned, I have to be awfully careful of my mind and my heart and my behavior. Sanctification in the Word of God has three different periods. First of all, it's positional. When we put our faith and trust in Christ as our Savior, we were sanctified. That is positional sanctification, set apart for God. But then from day to day, in our daily lifetime here, we have the flesh. We have the old man. We have the body of sin. These are the things that we find in the book of Revelation concerning this great truth of sanctification. And we have to be very careful day after day to be of our behavior. But as we look into the Word of God and things possibly in our life that's not in conformity with His will, and we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of something that's wrong, then we put it right. Progressive sanctification is something that will take place as long as we live down here. We never will be perfect yet while we're here in the body. But thank God, when Christ shall come, it will be perfected sanctification. And looking at the sea of glass in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the throne, as we look at it, we'll see a perfect reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, thank God for that day when sanctification will be perfected when we're in the presence of the Lord when He shall come. And then we get the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. These seven lamps of fire correspond with the menorah. You remember the seven branch golden candlestick that we find in the Old Testament, and here it represents the sevenfold activity of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice the different items here taken from the tabernacle and temple symbolism, and here we get the meaning of them. Oh, thank God, a day is coming when Christ shall come, and just like God, just like the Apostle John, we're taken up and we're given our first little glimpse of heaven, and as we look around, we see these beautiful, beautiful things. Now, the seventh and last thing here is the cherubim. And by the way, the cherubim mentioned a number of times, both in the Old Testament, here in the book of Revelation as well. The cherubim are the guardians of the throne. There's a description of them here. Here's the hierarchy of heaven. And their function is worship towards God. And secondly, they are the executors of the throne, carrying out the will of God at the command of the Lord God Almighty. And then it ends with a little doxology concerning creation at this, the end of this chapter 4. What a beautiful picture we get here of heaven and what it's like. And again, let me say that here is just a preview. But when we turn over to chapter 21 there, we get the panoramic view of heaven and what it's like. Do you ever feel homesick for heaven? You know, sometimes when a person is very, very sick and they think that they're going into the presence of the Lord, it's possible to lie there and wonder, now, when I draw my last breath and go into the presence of the Lord, what will it be like? What will I see? What will I feel? You know, there's no fear in this at all, but all the anticipation of being in the presence of the Lord and these lovely things that are outlined for us in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, that they will be consummated and fulfilled in our experience when earth is past. We believe the Lord is coming soon. And oh, my beloved friend, thank God, these beautiful, beautiful pictures and symbolism that we get here, thank God, we will realize what they are experimentally in the presence of Christ himself. Now, the next chapter is a picture of a scroll. It opens with a scroll in heaven. John said he saw that scroll, and there was a challenge. Who is worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof? No man in heaven was found worthy to open the scroll and to unloose the seals. And John wept. But then the angel comes to him and he said, "Weep not. Behold," he said, "the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed to open the book." And when John looks here for a lion, instead of that, he sees a lamb. And read, it was a lamb as it had been slain. I would love to go on and speak about that lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the three different faces of the lion that we get in Genesis chapter 49. The young lion coming up from the prey, that is the temptation. Then it stoops and it crouches. Oh, here is the mature lion. And when it stoops and crouches, it's just about ready to spring. I believe that what we get here is a picture of the cross and the resurrection of Christ. And then the old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The old lion is the man-eater, the killer. We've had some experience with these things. But here, it's a picture of Christ in relation to the nation of Israel. But the great vision that we get here is Christ as the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain upon the cross. And as soon as the Lamb is revealed, and these things that are said about him, beautiful things said about the Lamb, we find a threefold doxology goes up to heaven. Now, I'm just going to read them and then sit down. It's the most magnificent doxology that we find anywhere in Holy Scripture, and it's threefold. First of all, redemption. And then secondly, we get here the Lord Jesus being worshipped. And finally, we get adoration. So I'll just read it, and then we're finished. And I beheld in the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and Father, we lift our hearts to Thee with worship and praise and thanksgiving for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee that He's not only the Lion of the tribe of Judah in judgment, but our Father, we thank Thee that He is also the Lamb that was slain upon Calvary's cross. We thank Thee for the fact that we have these things in Thy Word. And our Father, what joy it brings to our heart that the Lamb of God is the center of worship of the whole creation in a coming day. We ask Thee to bless Thy Word to Thy people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.